And good morning, sir. Definitely good to be able to be here this morning, to put one foot in front of the other, and to come out in our right mind. Definitely glad for those who see the business, for your business, but just to know your honest guest. No part we don't have to do the business, you can. Glad to have you with us this morning. I want to speak to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And while we're getting there, kind of just did a brief survey of our family today. And I'll probably dare say, maybe about 75 to 80% of folks need some of these. So my lesson today is, how are your eyes? How are your eyes? Turn me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You'll see why I'm going to make this application. I'll read it up here. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin at verse number 21, and we're down to 24. It says this: the way your treasure is, that will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. How's your eyes? Now, I wonder how many of us, when we were young, I'm just using myself for example. People told me when I was 22, I had to use some glasses. I said you just crank two left shoes. My vision used to be 20/15. That's done. That's almost perfect. Some of you might have better vision. Some of you got good vision, but 20/15. And I used to, in my youthful ignorance, used to laugh at folks who told me this. One day, you're going to need some glasses. That was so funny to me, because I thought, with my vision, I could spot a tick on a squirrel about 100 yards away. That's what I told myself. Now, I grew up playing baseball. One of the things that I prided myself in baseball was, by the time that ball left that pitcher's hand, I could already tell what kind of pitch it was going to be. Some of you know baseball. Baseball has certain spins. You know, spin it this way, probably a curveball. Then you got the knuckleball. Then you got the two-seam and four-seam fastball. That wasn't nothing. I was pretty good at baseball because I could pick it up right out of hand. But not that. What happened? What happened? Why do we need glasses that can throw over? Some people say, well, I've always had them. You ain't saying nothing new. But what about our eyes, spiritual eyes? I'm going to use some physical elements to describe the spiritual truth. Y'all with me this morning? Many of us grew up on those good old cartoons. How many of us watch Jessica Jones? That's one of my favorites, man. I kind of grew up and got those with Bugs Bunny, but that's one of my favorites. Jessica Jones. But you remember the muskrat old man who always squinted his eyes and said, what? What happened? What happened? Couldn't see no farther than his nose. Then, the other cartoon is Mr. Magoo. Now, if you watch Mr. Magoo, you run, I don't want to be on the road when this rascal drives. He runs to gardens, cars, anything else. He be just smiling. He would think that he was all right. He would think he's in the middle of the road. Give you another example. Just kind of get a mindset on it. A comedian who once said something like this, you know, started. And he said it took him so long to get used to bipolar. Some of us know what bipolar is, all right? But that's that sweet spot in there, right? Some people say, I need it, but I'm fighting it through the nail to the end. Don't need it right now to read, but I know it real soon. It's happening now. But he would say, you know, till he got used to them bifocals, he pulled up about 50 feet from a stoplight. He think, in his own mind, he'd be under the light. People walk by, looking by him crazy, they're going to slow him down. And what's wrong with this man? But he hasn't got that focus yet. What about our spiritual eyes? So I'm going to go over just some common elements. I'm going to make some spiritual applications. Maybe, just something physical from this, but just ride with me a little bit longer, and I'll make some spiritual applications. But eyes are important. Have you ever thought about how unique our eyes are to make? To me, you know, I know there's a lot of wonderful things that God made us, but those eyes, how do you perceive what you perceive? What allows you to see depth? What allows you to see perception? What allows you to see things far off? What allows you to distinguish between colors? You know, I understand right now. You know, we're going to talk about colorblindness in a little while, but 5 to 8% of the male population is colorblind, and only 0.5% of females are colorblind. Why is that? So I'm going to tell you an example. The man start asking their wives, "Is this match?" That's the problem, don't you? Do these shoes match this jacket? This jacket match this shirt? We got some issues. Somewhere we lost it. But when you think about our eyes, how unique they're made, think about how God designed them. Most folks who are in the field of optometry can tell you that the image that we capture, the door to our brain is upside down. It's an upside down image. And our brain works to interpret what we have seen. What we have seen. We see stuff sometimes we're not there. If I throw a belt down in this door, half the other thing is asleep. Because your mind tells you that. So eyes have a big job in interpreting the world around us. Our eyes. We always have to check our eyes. We oftentimes see things that aren't there. We see silhouettes and run from them. We see stuff in the dark that you thought you saw and it ain't there. Our eyes can play tricks on us sometimes. Yeah. So we're going to just look at some common items and then I'll make a few spiritual applications. But the lesson is, how are your eyes? And do you need some of God's glasses? So God's glasses is just as specific as for those who are eyeglasses and our eyes are specific. That's very specific. Now, I know sometimes when you get older, you can have reading glasses. Now, I know some couples that got 4 or 5 pair of reading glasses all over the house and they share them. But then there are some, but sometimes these eyes are different. You know, my eyes, I got 20/25 in one and 24 in the other. How do they happen? I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm not closing one eye and looking at the other stuff, pulling one up and I didn't do that. I'll do that. But your eyes change. The doctor said, come back in a year or so, they might change again. But what do you mean? How does it keep changing? Well, that's life. Let's look at some things that we sometimes suffer from. First thing that we suffer from is somebody, and some folks, are nearsighted. What does that mean? They see things closely up, but not meaning far away. Spiritual example of this is, these are folks who oftentimes, because of their spiritual nearsightedness, all they look for is instant gratification. They see it, they want it, and before you know it, they've already done something they didn't realize. So nearsightedness can be difficult. It's great to see near, but if you're trying to see something far, if you still hunt, nearsightedness is a problem. You can be nearsighted. Most of them are running up to about 10 feet from you so you can shoot it. So nearsightedness is a problem. And then there's a problem of farsightedness. These are folks who are able to see things far away. They can't see anything up close. Spiritual application is this. There are some folks who can tell you everything you did wrong. When it comes to them, they see no wrong. They see stuff way down the road. They see the speck in your eye. But somehow, some way, miss the most in their own eye. Some of us suffer from spiritual farsightedness. And then there's other common elements, like this. Anyone who's had to deal with things like glaucoma, that runs in my family. Got 1 hour medically. The glaucoma, just looking at a very simple definition of what glaucoma is, it's a pressure buildup in the optic nerve that often damages it and clouds it to the point where we start to miss certain pictures of things. We don't see whole pictures. We may see this and we may not see this, and it's in the same picture in the same vicinity. And sometimes that really makes life hard to interpret when you're missing certain parts of things. What oftentimes happens with glaucoma is, as well as cataracts, we'll talk about in a minute, you become tunnel vision. The only thing you can see is right in front of you, but we know in life how important our peripheral vision is. And definitely so spiritually. But then you got glaucoma. And then this one. He died. Now, I watched a TV show. Anybody ever seen Everybody Hates Chris? That episode now where they said that they were so happy these kids were going to school, they were so happy when they contracted pink gold. That's what they call it. Well, pink eye, you know you can't really go to school, but you're not really sick. Look at the eye irritation. Look at the eye irritation. Not only is it going to cause you dizzy normally, unless it happens over and over again. The common word for it, the official word, is conjunctivitis. But oftentimes, if a kid has pink eye, they know they get to stay at home. They ain't got to take too much medicine, a couple of eye drops. They usually have to go see a doctor anything, or maybe they do to get the medication, but that's what many folks call pink gold. Well, how can we apply that spiritually? Some folks look for the least little thing to go in their life called with them this word. Any little thing goes on, they have any little ache, any little pain, all of a sudden, they shut down. Then the back of the mind is telling themselves, well, I just need to have a little break. But it's a spiritual peacock. It is something that you can put some glasses on and cover up and go on and do what God asks us to do. And then there's an I am called a stigmatism. This usually causes blurred vision. Sometimes it is a simple or premeditated symptom of a stroke. Oftentimes it's caused by this. Tiredness, excessive eye strain, sometimes walking in dimly lit places, and eye strain. That's the little thing that happens sometimes when the eye jumps a little bit. Kind of bothers you a little bit. You don't really know why. I have that sometimes, but when my doctor, I listen to my doctor. Usually when I start switching, my stress level is about 200. Now, I don't usually tell it because I'm pretty laid back, but my body tells on. So when my eyes start switching, I need to slow down a little bit. Sometimes in life, sometimes in even serving God, the load gets a little too heavy every now and then, doesn't it? And you're getting up and you don't know why certain things are going, and you just kind of feel something's not right. Sometimes this thing we call life, we put too much energy in and we spend too much time in it and things don't go right. The next thing we know, we got this little problem going on. And then there's things like floaters. Anybody ever deal with floaters? That means there's usually something floating, a bubble or something in your eye. Usually that's a sign of something worse going on. Most likely, what I'll be talking about next is what we call macular degeneration. Now what that is that's just the eyes overall getting bad due to a number of symptoms. It could be high blood pressure, it could be diabetes, it could be hereditary, whatever it could be. But usually that means that slowly but surely the eyes are getting worse. Now I don't know if there's any cure for it, but I know there's a lot of medications that we can take to kind of slow that thing down. So macular degeneration is not a catch-all, usually caused by a series of symptoms that happen to us. The usual what happens with that is the eyes get worse and worse and worse. You get the example even in Scripture. Describe something that Isaac suffered with. Now, Isaac was the father of Jacob and Esau. And towards the end of his eyes were so dim that he couldn't even tell the difference between his two sons. And he told Esau to come closer to him. But he told Jacob to come closer because he sounded like it, but what Jacob did was he was going to put his trick on him. Esau was a hairy man. Couldn't even tell the difference. All he knew, the way he determined who Esau was by the excess amount of hair on his skin. But it tricked him. His eyes were bad. They tricked him. So macular degeneration is usually the overall worsening of our eyes. Sometimes that happens in our life. What does it look like spiritually speaking? It usually looks like somebody who just slowly but surely drifting away from God. Not necessarily right away, but surely. Slowly but surely, looking away from God. They may still attend, but their heart's not in. They may still do certain things, but really, just really, if they keep going down the road they're going, eventually they're going to go spiritually blind. Usually it's not something that happens right away. Some of these things happen right away. But that's oftentimes what happens. Then there's things like allergy season. Some of us suffer from allergies, and allergies affect different people. Different ways. Sometimes all you do is have a runny nose. Some people have really problems. The water gets your eyes. The things that they tend to do in, most doctors is, stay away from things that irritate and cause the allergy to flare. Some people lose their glass, pollen. Grass, pollen. You know, cat, whatever it is, they tell you to kind of stay away from it. Well, that's kind of our example of staying away from teeth. Sin always gives you your eyes. Sooner or later, it's going to bother you so much that it blurs your vision. Same thing with a puffy eye. Sometimes these things are caused by allergies, but oftentimes, folks who've been crying a lot and been suffering a lot, their eyes are quite puffy. You ever seen somebody who's really going through some things? And they say they're all right, but I guarantee you, if you look at their eyes, that it went into the soul. You can tell a lot about how somebody's doing by learning. But look at the eye. So what they say with their mouth is not always true. You can look sometimes at folks' eyes and tell them they're really going through some things. Maybe they've been crying. Maybe they've been crying and trying to hide it because they don't want anybody else to know they're struggling with it. Maybe just maybe that it's between them and God, but you sometimes can tell by these things that go on, but nevertheless. So they have, they may have the example of a baby eye. Now, oftentimes, what happens with this is, and sometimes the cure for it is, to do eye strengthening exercises. Doesn't always cure, sometimes surgery needs to take care of it. But usually, spiritually speaking, these are folks who just got lazy on the job. Got lazy. There's no other excuse for it. There's no other reason to dress it up. They just got lazy when it comes to the things of God. I mentioned cataracts. Eventually becoming cloudy. Cataracts really does cause folks to have tunnel vision. That's not always bad. But in the spiritual life you live at, when you can't see what's coming up from the eye, that's pretty dangerous, isn't it? Because Satan, he doesn't always attack us front. He's not coming down Front Street. Satan attacks us from our periphery, our blind spot, so to speak. So we got to make sure that we do some things to correct our blind spots. And God, he created our eyes, but he also made us spiritual beings for those who are in Christ Jesus and opened our spiritual eyes. So when we start to suffer with our spiritual vision, the first thing we must do is make an appointment with God. What is that? You know, most times I'm kind of guilty of this. I'm trying to do better with it. You know, I think men overall are just worse about the one with God. But sometimes we think we can shake stuff off and shaking ain't gonna help. Walking it off ain't gonna help. Putting some dirt on it ain't gonna help. Even with the grass like dogs do with it, it's not gonna help. Sometimes we need to just tap out and go through the doctor. God is the one who gave us this vision. We all know when we're not seeing things the way we used to see. And sometimes it happens gradually, sometimes it happens right away. But it's serious business because how important our eyes to us are to us. But what about your spiritual eye? Are you able to see things clearly, spiritually speaking? We had a wonderful Bible study this morning about what you set our attention on. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, we ought to set our affection on things above. We got to recalibrate what we're aiming for. Not just things in this world, but things beyond this world. Then you start to see that really your whole life is Christ. The problem with many folks today of being faithful to Christ is they're looking at the wrong thing. They're focused on things of this world. They're focused on relationships. They're focused on jobs. Whatever it is, until you focus the way God wants you to focus, you'll never be able to see the big picture. One of the things that discourages us so much is that we're looking at the wrong thing. 2 Kings chapter 6 gives us a very good example of that. When Elisha, the prophet, was telling his servant to open and pray for God to open his spiritual eyes. To say a little bit about it, you read it in your own time. That was a situation where the servant of Elisha came out and all he saw around him was his enemies. So he came back to Elisha and said, Master, what are we going to do? We're surrounded by enemies. Elisha didn't panic. He didn't pray. All he did was say this simple prayer. My God, I pray that you open his eyes. What eyes are you talking about? He saw the enemy, but when his spirits were not open, because God granted him his request for his servant, he was able to see that around his enemies was a legion of angels that nobody can number. It's all about what we look at in life. How do you eye? If all you see is problems, then you need to change your eye. You need to change your vision. Because sometimes, opportunities and growth come in the middle of problems. That's why we as Christians, that's no such thing that God can't use for us. There's no situation he can't fix and help us with. The problem is, how do you eye? What you're looking at? What are you seeing? Because that makes all the difference in the world. And you may say, well, I can't change. I can't see. Well, maybe just maybe you need to get a new prescription to God. Maybe just maybe you've gone blind in one eye and really can't see the full road. Maybe just maybe that the cataract, the physical cataract the spiritual cataracts, the battles that we're doing, the life being clouded with things we don't need, has caused us to have tunnel vision. Maybe, just maybe, the stigmatism is really bothering our eyesight just because we have not taken our problems to God and laid them there. Maybe, just maybe, that's why our eyes are messed up. So we're going to give us a few examples of evil eyes, and then we're going to look at some examples of good eyes, and then we'll make this lesson yours to take home. So let's look at some definitions of evil eyes according to God. There's a note right here. Number one is, many of us are guilty of having an evil eye. What do I mean by that? When you look at David in his whole situation with Bathsheba, you know, he was out, both of them was on the rooftop. She was taking a bath. So he caused that light at one vision of this beautiful naked woman to basically cause a whole lot of problems in his life. This woman was already married. He's already married. So David said, to make it look right in my own eyes, I'm going to send her husband to the front line where I'm sure he'll be killed. Sounds good, right? Then I can say she's not married anymore. Evil eyes. That's exactly what happened. Bathsheba became pregnant, but then Nathan the prophet had to go and tell David about his sin. He had repented of his sin, but guess what happened? He suffered because of that particular situation the rest of his life. The child that she was pregnant with died as a result. Number two is, he said, because you disobeyed me, there's going to be trouble in your own house for the rest of your life. And David, probably looking back on it, was probably mad and sad and regretted he took a second look at a woman that wasn't his wife. Both his sons tried to kill him. One of his sons slept with his sister. You talking about some drama in the household? That all was brought to him by the fact that he decided he had to have Bathsheba. Can't go against God's wishes to make things right in your own eyes. Whenever you do that, and your eyes see and want what you want, it's not according to God's will, make no mistake about it, it is not going to turn out right. It's not going to turn out right. There's going to be some problems you can't even see here. But if you want what your eyes want, then go ahead and have it, but then you have to deal with consequences. That's the life we live in. Then another evil eye, envious eye. Envy. Now, it's nothing wrong. Some people say, well, I'll not be jealous, but that's a different thing, jealousy and envy. Jealous means this. But foolish, you got a car that I want. I like it. You know what? I like those cars. I want just like it. So what am I going to do? Try to get me a job, find out how much it costs. I'm going to find a way for me to come up with the money to get a car like Lewis has. Envy is, I don't want another car, I want his car. So what am I going to do? To get his car, I'm going to set him up. I'm going to set up a trap for him. I'm going to try to hook and swindle him out of it. I may even go into his yard and steal it when he's sleeping at night. Because I want his car. That's the difference between envy and jealousy. Envy is always a problem. Proverbs 14:30 talks about it. Envy says this. Envy is rottenness to the bone. When you want exactly what somebody else has, it's going to rot you from the inside out. That's envy. And don't be surprised when your whole attitude changes to bitterness. That is a sign that you're rotting from the inside out. That's what happens with envy. Saul had this problem. He became so envious of David that he spent the rest of his life trying to kill David. And David, all he did was do and keep God's will, slay Goliath, serve Saul in his house. But on two occasions, at least, Saul, when David got close to him, threw a spear at him to try to go through him. He chased him in a foreign country. He chased him out. It consumed him. All he was concerned about, not running Israel, not being the king that God desired, all he was concerned about was killing David. And in the end, he had to fall on his own sword in shame. That's what envy does to you. It doesn't help anybody. It's going to eat you inside out. It's going to take you places you don't want to go. And then another point, another characteristic of evil eye is one that's critical. Oftentimes, folks with critical eyes see all kinds of problems in everybody else's life, but they They can tell you every sin that somebody did, every time they blinked wrong, every time they spoke wrong, every time they acted wrong. But somehow, some way, they can't see the problems in their own yard. They're so busy feeling up other folks and what they're doing or not doing, they forget. But they stick to the sin. They forget garbage banging up in their yard. It's a problem. And then there's the covers out. The cover. To cover something basically means that you want it so much that it consumes. It's kind of very close related to envy. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 23. We see here that he covered it, this power that the apostles had. He wanted it. He was a magician. He wanted to know how they did all these tricks. How they made up. It's not so that he could please God, so he can make some money. Now, we see that today, don't we? There's a whole lot of spiritual religious snake oil stuff in the world we live in today. And all they're doing is making merchandise of the gospel. And it's kind of sad. We ought to be the ones that need to recognize it. There's a whole lot of folks doing things in the name of God that he ought not have them to do. For example, in certain places today, meeting right now, maybe at the same time we are, somebody let me up before me and say this. No, God gave me a vision. He gave me a $200 vision. Everybody in here, God told me that they had $200 on them to give an offering today. He gave it to me. Now, God gave it to me. Do you know what folks are doing? So, big little pot. God gave this man a dollar vision. He said $200. He said I had to sow a seed $200. And guess what happened? If it ain't enough, that plate comes back around again, isn't it? Kind of sad. What in the world does God say he gave you a vision? Everybody take $200. So you can get you to the gate. You can add more to it and spend on your own bus. Cover it. So in closing, let's talk about good eyesight. Number one, good eyes are always compassionate eyes. 1 Peter 3:8. If you see someone hurting or in need, it is our obligation to help. Now, it doesn't always mean physical. But I wonder how often do we turn a blind eye to somebody who serves spirit, who say things like, that's not my problem. Who say things like, they ought to know better than that. Well, maybe they don't. And maybe they did know better. Maybe somebody just like you is reminding them what to say. You know, we are truly our own worst keepers. And oftentimes, we don't act like that. We act like it's never our problem, none of our issues. When in the world is God giving us that prerogative? But what if you did that to us and said, you know what? The demons ain't my problem. I'm not going out of the bathroom. I'm not hanging on the cross from that raggedy rascal. All they're going to do is sin and mock me and God. I'm not going to do that. But that's not the attitude that we see from our Lord and Savior. So why do we have that attitude towards one another? This is hopeful eyes. Romans 8, 18 to 25. This is a picture of this. Notice what it says here. This is one of the things that we have to look at. Because we mentioned in class this morning, all of us are going to suffer at some point, even to death. It's all a matter of what you focus on. Trials and tribulations are part of this life. God never promised that our Christian walk will be free from trials and tribulations. My question to you is, what your eyes looking at? Are you looking at the fact that this chance for God to really be the meaning of your life? Are you looking at the fact that, God, I know I can't do it, but I know through Christ I can do all things? What are you looking at? Because it makes all the difference in the world. He wants us to have hope. We have reason for hope. And guess what, church? If it never gets better on this side of the living, oh my goodness, when we get to heaven. We ain't got to put up with this world for so long. You may say, you know, I've been dealing with my problems for 10 months, 2 years. Compare it to eternity. Is nothing. Look at this. That's what Paul was able to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He talks about this. But our light afflictions are but for a moment. Everything in this world that we deal with is a light affliction when it comes compared to eternity. Everything is but a light affliction that we endure for a little while. That's all it is. That's all it is. So we have hope. And then we ought to have faithful eyes. We ought to see things through the eyes of faith. But it tells us that the just shall live by faith. Not by thinking, not by wishing, not by worrying, by faith. That's how we're on our steps today. That's how every day we get up in our minds, in our lives, God has us on our mind. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Where is your faith? Faith don't mean you can see it. Faith does mean that it's on the way. Faith does mean that God is more than able. Faith does mean I'm going to overcome this. Faith does mean that sooner or later get better. Faith does mean that the problem that I'm facing now won't break me. Faith does mean that when I'm persecuted, I'm not forsaken. Faith does mean when I'm beat up, I'm not beat down. That's what faith tells me. Are you living your life by faith? And then open eyes. The Bible says this, we're to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. One of the things that really shipwrecks our walk with God is we look straight ahead. And I'm here for this. I'm about to come here to come. And I think Brandon got that thing for me. But I'll trip over a piece of land. You can leave them up or not. That's just how I am. So I got to be careful. You know, right now, and my job I'm doing, I kind of start new position, kind of helping out these albums off. And it's still there, but it's real now. I've always thought that basically, being around a bunch of little kids all day, I'm putting them in danger. Because if I fall, I'm going to wipe out about 6 or 7 at least. So that's constantly in my mind when I'm going into a kindergarten class. I love them. I know I love kids. But oh my goodness, it's like I'm walking on a mine. I don't want to trap them. They love to come up and hug you from behind. The back of your knee, front of your knee, side of your knee. I am scared to death. Then I'm going to trip. Then they got to call and explain why I crushed their little baby. That's just me. Maybe y'all ain't had that problem. But that's just me. Dad is going to say it. She talks about it since she teaches kindergarten. But I know I've been around them on a constant basis. Because I've been working in middle school high school. I ain't worried about them. Some of them want to fall off. But the little kids, it's in the back of my mind. Watch your step. They don't ever tie the shoes. That's a chance for me to step on them and not even think about it. But think about this, open eyes. We need to understand that our enemy is out to destroy. We need to be able to see the wiles of the devil coming at us. That spirit of discernment that talks about the Hebrews, we need to have it. We should get to the point, not always this way, but we ought to be able to see some evil coming from a long way away and avoid it. A long way away. You've been there before. It don't look right. It don't smell right. It's not acting right. So stay away from it. And if it's a snake, don't think. You the exception. If it's your friend, the same snake gonna bite you too. Why do we think we're different? Snake is in the nature to bite folks. If you're around it long enough, it's probably gonna be bitten. Not me. Many folks thought that before they got snagged by a snake. Prime example. And again, I'm just doing to make an example for friends that's for clothes. When you think about this, I don't think too much here. I'm starting to go towards the foothill of the mountain. They still got snake handlers over there in the church. Now, that just blows my mind. I know they have faith, but God also gave us common sense. I'm not going to be handling one of the falls of the Satan and stay away from it and know that I might die and try to prove God wrong. But sometimes we don't turn out the way it does. They won't even go to the doctor once they get bit. Now, common sense out the window. God made these things, but He didn't mean that we're supposed to be all around, especially as far as the Bible. Now, some folks like them, and that's great, but I ain't getting around. Especially for them. I ain't fooling with them, but I don't like getting bitten and they have all these shots after. But use some wisdom. It could be anything in our life. The Bible gives us a spirit of discernment. Use it. It'll save you from a whole lot of headache and heartache. If you know that going to hang out with a certain person gonna cause you to do wrong, stop hanging out with them. Because your will ain't so strong. That's why the Bible says we should flee certain things. It says flee fornication. Why? Fornication, that need desire is so powerful that if you mess around with it, it's going to get you. I can promise you that. Ain't nothing wrong with trying to tell and running or breaking camp, some folks say. Ain't nothing wrong with it. If you know you're too weak in that area, don't fool with it. Stay away from it. We think somehow, some way, that we're different. No, we're not. It's hope for that. And then an eye, a sinner, and focus on Christ. Now, it all boils down to it. When life at its ease, and before we take our last breath, many folks have been. Most times, if they've been around in the body, it's at the end stage of life. They're not taking my baby steps. You know what? I should have worked a few more hours. Got a couple more shifts. They're not thinking about that. You know what? That new board I want to buy that 20 footer. Maybe I should have got 20 dollars. No, they didn't think about that. Most times they're reflecting on their life. And oftentimes the thing that brings them the most anxiety and heartache is they're supposed to reflect on all the things they did wrong and all the worst stuff to do. We as Christians are blessed to live one day at a time. Nobody knows what tomorrow is. Make the day the best. Nobody's promised tomorrow. As I like to say, they make two forecasts what the people think. What are you doing to live today to bring glory to Christ? Are you focused on making heaven your home? Because what that does is it puts everything else in perspective. Until you get that vision right and recalibrate what you focus on, you're going to struggle. Any of those things come your way from knock you down. Any of those trials and tribulations, you're going to be willing to throw up your hands and give up. With faith, heart, it's all wrong what you look at. If all you want to do is look at this world, well, sometimes we as Christians, in close, got the same problem. You know, we look at the world and say to ourselves, this world is so evil, nobody knows Jesus. Nobody got time for the gospel. That's the worst thing we can say. Because Christ, even as the perverse generation he was living in, he said this, the field is white and the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Talk about what you see. Is the glass half empty or the glass half full? What are you looking at? How you high? You may say, in close, Brother Clark, my business is bad. I'm looking at the wrong thing, possibly the wrong thing, I'm focused on the wrong thing. Aren't we glad that God gave us Abigail for him? Because I'm going to show you how serious it is. When we focus on the wrong thing, it can lead to what we call sin. Prime example of this. The Bible says what? Be anxious for nothing. Right? What does that mean? Don't worry about anything. So if you worry, is that sin? Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, it is. If God says don't do it, you do it. That's transgressing his law. What are you focusing on? No matter what, no matter what this life throws at you, we are the most blessed and highly favored people there are. And maybe other folks don't see it. Maybe we're really suffering, mentally, emotionally, or physically. Make no mistake about it. You still truly blessed and highly favored. What are you looking at? How do you hide? If all you see is trouble, heartache, misery, and pain, if all you're doing is individuals accounting everything that hurts, the next day, you never focus on what's right. Never focus on how blessed you are. I promise you, in life, I've learned this, and I ain't been on this earth long, that always somebody has a word for you. Always, I don't care what you're dealing with, there's always somebody that has a word for you. Let me be thankful that you still have that part. You got your own, God promised to help us with them, but all you're doing is looking at other folks and wishing. No, you may not have any problems. How do you ask? Don't look at things for spiritual eyes. God gave us a spiritual eye. Our discernment, our hope, our clarity, our focus. An open eye to see things coming at us. An open eye to see opportunities also to take it up. Me, and I'm guilty just as well. I want to take more opportunities I have to pray to God. Those were moments sometimes in Walmart when I was talking about who won the game last night. At the gas station, I'm coming up and they say, you know, nice call. Whatever. How often do we take those opportunities to tell us about people? We talk about everything under the sun. Oh, yes, it is. Everything under the sun but Christ. Talk about conversation about weather. Everybody comes with weather, they don't. Know what this whole deal is, I know about 10 days it's going to snow. What they got to do with this family? You know, last week I read the form of the almanac. You're going to get a whole bunch. January ain't here yet. Don't tell me about January. Help me today. I already talked about it. Why? Now, sometimes I evidence the eyes are not focused on that. Often do we find stuff that's wrong instead of finding stuff that's right. I don't care how bad somebody is, you bet you do. You can always find something good about it. Or, you can always find something bad for what you're looking for. Ain't nobody perfect. You dig well enough in somebody's past, there's going to be some stuff they ain't proud of. What are you focusing on? Find something positive to build on, because you're living in Christ. I want you to be saved. Hear the gospel. Believe what we've heard. Tell them I see. That's Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you baptize for the remission of our sins. Remember the scripture we looked at. We'll examine briefly and we'll go back and wrap it up today. The eyes make the difference. The eyes full of light and the whole body's light. The eyes full of darkness and the whole body's dark. So it is important what you look at. How it affect everything else. And not only your physical body, but your spiritual body as well. If you have one desire to put on Christ, we ask you to please come forward and make your request known.